The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the God-blessed man. The God-blessed man. I believe today that God wants to bless your life. That the Lord doesn't want your life to be devoid of happiness. In fact, the word blessed in the Beatitudes, it means happy. Happy is the man. And God wants to bless your life with continual joy. And He wants to bless your life with the fruit of a life invested for Him. And the Bible gives us some of the characteristics of a God-blessed man. And some of them, I believe, are so simple, and yet we find it difficult to live the simple truth. And so, as we begin this, the Bible reveals to us that there's a blessed man, the blessing that comes to the man, that walketh not in the what? Counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want us to notice, first of all, from God's word, the advisors of the God-blessed man. The advisors of the God-blessed man. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you as a pastor, one of the things that often dismays me is when I hear Bible-believing Christians talking about the fact that they are going to unsaved therapists to try to deal with the things that the Bible conclusively addresses. Sometimes folks will be going through a hard time. And so they sit in the lunchroom at work and they talk to people that have no regard for the Lord. And they ask them, what would you do if you were me? And normally the kind of advice that is given across the lunch table from coworker to coworker isn't always rooted in the truth, is it? How many of you have had some advice offered up to you across the lunch table that wasn't always rooted in the truth? And maybe you were going through a hard time and you just didn't know what to do. And so your heart was open to trying anything. You know, you thought maybe somebody will give me one little morsel of wisdom. And my dad used to say, you know, even a blind hog can root an acorn every now and again. And I think that's true, but the reality is this, that the person who's going to experience the blessing of the Lord is going to determine that the people that are going to counsel them will be those people who know and love the Lord and who are people of the Word. Sometimes we say, I don't know what the will of the Lord is for my life. Well, it's not hidden to you, but maybe you just do not know where to look to find it, to discover it. And so what we need to do is we need to go to someone who can direct our hearts to the Word of God and show us what God's Word reveals to us concerning the will of God. Friends, it troubles me, really, when I think about the fact that we have a generation of young people who are going to schools and they have guidance counselors who have no regard for God or the things of God, who have no understanding of righteousness and truth, and who will freely and carelessly dispense information to our children that we do not want them to, at a tender age, have access to. And yet, we have to teach our young people that they must be careful about who they seek out for advice. Folks come to my office, and I tell you, I don't have any wisdom apart from the Word of God. I have nothing to tell you that is of any consequence apart from thus saith the Lord. And so what I want to do when folks come in and say, Pastor, I'm having an issue, is I want to open the Bible. I want to direct them to the truth of the Word of God, because apart from that, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. Some people say, well, Pastor, I would be happy to teach a class because I've taken psychology and also I've taken, public speaking classes. And so I'll know how to relate to people on an intellectual, emotional level, and I can communicate because I'm a speaker. And the truth is that if you're not rooted in the Word of God, you might be able to say something in a nice sort of way, but if it's not the truth, then, as it says in the Greek, big, stinking, honking, hairy deal. Amen? Who wants to hear it? Right? And so the Bible is saying there's a blessing that's going to abide the man who determines to find advice from those people who walk with God, and not only walk with God, but delight in the law of the Lord. Verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. You know, there are people that will tell you to do this or to do that, and they'll give you advice that may sound reasonable and rational. But may I submit this to you, that the life of a believer is a life of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, For we walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is that there are times where the direction that God is causing our feet to go, because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. So God is ordering our steps, and we know that those steps are to be steps of faith. How many of you know that? We walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is that I'm going to depend upon a God who can do anything but fail. And sometimes what that means is He is going to lead me to a place and in a direction that may not be rational in the natural mind, that may not perfectly make sense to you. How many of you have ever felt the Lord leading you in a particular direction that seemed really counter to traditional thought? Let me see your hands. I remember when Dorinda raised her hand and said, you know, I think I'll volunteer for the bus ministry. I'm thinking, you want to do what? You know, and that was nothing in the world like she would ever have considered before that. And you know what? Because that wasn't her fleshly instinct, but she felt definitely impressed. It was a walk of faith for her to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something that kind of is counter to everything that my fiber wants to do. Counter to it all. And sometimes the will of God goes against your natural tendencies. Now remember this, that the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, when God by His Spirit reveals something to you, inevitably your flesh will resist that. And what we need to do is submit ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and trust, thus saith the Lord. You know, the Bible says this, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, and all of these things. And He told the disciples and the Jews that were following along with Him, He says, for if you love them that love you, what thanks have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Now, how many of you have ever had somebody really giving you a hard time? Let me see your hand. Me either. I don't have any idea what that feels like whatsoever. But, you know, sometimes we have people that are giving us a little trouble, you know, and you know what that feels like, right? Now, how many of you feel like just being really loving and kind to them? All kinds of hands going up around here. Now, you know, look, your flesh doesn't want to do it, does it? No, in fact, your flesh wants to pop them a good one in the snot box sometime, doesn't it? Can I get a witness up here? Any honest folks? But look, the Spirit says, love them which hate you. If your enemy hunger, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him drink. And so we know that we're to bless and to curse us, to pray for them which despitefully use us. And one of the things that we have to understand is this, that there are those that would give you humanistic logic and advice on how to deal with those types of situations. And really, the only place that we can find the blessing, the avenue of God's blessing into our life, is in godly counsel that's rooted in a soul that delights in the Word of God. Because I would tell you this, if you have someone giving you a hard time, the natural man wants to well up with bitterness in their heart. They want to strike out and seek vengeance. And God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And my friend, that is nothing that your flesh ever wants to do. People say, well, you just get right back and you fight fire with fire. You stand up to it. You do this and that. And my friends, I'm going to tell you something. When you fight fire with fire, everyone gets burnt. What God calls us to do is love them. And that's counterintuitive to what our flesh wants to do. And that's why the blessed man is the one that is willing to take advice from those who delight in the law of God, the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, it says. So I could just preach all night about the God-blessed man and his advisors. But the Bible goes on a step from there and talks about the God-blessed man and his associates. Who he associates with. You know, it has often been asserted that a person will become the sum total of the books they read, the television they watch, and the people that they associate themselves with. Now, we live in a society that doesn't read as much as it used to, and that's a tragedy. In fact, we are seeing a generation of people that will see the test scores and standards wax and wane. The curves will change. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why is because the advent of the electronic age. Because we have people who are so adept at texting and instant messaging and things like that. And anymore, people don't know how to spell. They just abbreviate everything. You know, LOL. And you know what I'm saying? And kids don't know how to spell anymore because they live in this electronic age. And without a spell checker on their computer, they're lost, right? And somebody say, quit talking about me, preacher. You know, somebody's going to call me tomorrow and say, you were talking about me in church and I don't appreciate it. You know, but the fact of the matter is we're growing up in a day where people, they want to get books on tape and they want to watch television, get their news and they want to get, they want to be spoon fed everything. We live in a generation where people don't want to study the Word of God. Instead of getting out a dictionary and a concordance and doing some word searches and studies, they'd rather go down and buy a pink Bible with pictures in it that has an easier reading version and think that, you know, that this is going to be the way. And look, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's so much fun when you begin to dig into the depths of the Word of God, when you begin to search out its truth and you begin to look at the etymology in the book. You begin to look at the syntax and you begin to look at the usage and you begin to look at the history behind the words and the context and you begin to look at who wrote it and what occasioned the writing and you begin to look at the chronology of the Word of God and you become a person who is focused upon rightly dividing the Word of truth. When God reveals something to you, man, it's like you just dug up a nugget of gold. It's so much fun. Instead, you know what we want? We want to pay for the little pink Bible with pictures in it that's the easier reading version, and everybody else has put the nuggets out there for you to just pick up as you walk along. Folks, it's more rewarding when you dig one up for your own self. Right? Have you ever figured that out? And you're well able to do that unless, you're coming from a Catholic background or something. That you think that maybe someone has to tell you what it says. But you know what? I'm glad I'm a Baptist and I can read and understand and interpret the Word of God for myself. Are you glad of that? And so, look, here's what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, who are we going to hang around with? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse number 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be made wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Did you hear me? He that walketh with wise men shall be made wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, you're going to become like the people ultimately that you choose to keep close association with. Now, how many of you at some point in time had to deal with an issue of alcohol or some kind of chemical issue in your life? Let me see your hands. How many of you? Look, I can't believe that. It's about 80% of the people in here. You've had to deal at some given point in your life with an issue of alcohol or some sort of chemical issue in your life, about 80% of the people here tonight. And my friend, I want to tell you something. When you decided that that was a destructive choice in your life and you knew that that was a problem, some changes had to take place in your life or you were going to die. Is that right? Is that right? How many of you know that? Some changes, some fundamental changes had to take place in your life or you were going to die. And you knew it. Do you know what one of the very first and most fundamental changes there was that had to take place in your life? You had to change your associates. You know why? Because if you're trying to get your nose out of the bottle, then you've got to stop hanging around with your buddies at the bar. How many of you know that? You know that when you go to their house for a barbecue, that the alcohol is going to flow like water and the temptation is going to be almost greater than you can bear. Those of you that are coming off of some kind of a chemical addiction, and we've prayed with and helped many folks like that through the years here at Freeway Baptist Church. And some are going through that right now, dealing with chemical issues and trying to keep off that drug. And maybe you've been dealing with methamphetamine and that has had a hook in your gut. And I mean, it's just pulling at you like nothing else in the world. And you know that if you get around certain people, you're going to have access to it. And so what you've got to do is you've got to cut those people entirely out of your life. And I'm going to say this to you, that you will forfeit much of the blessing of God in your life when you choose to associate yourselves more with the ungodly than with the godly. Now, the Bible says, look, we can't separate ourselves entirely from those people. Otherwise, we'd have to die and go to heaven. We'd have to go out of the world because we're in the world. But guess what? We're not of the world. So God says there's a blessing that comes to the life of the person that makes a decision to have the right kind of advisors around him. And sometimes the advice they give is out of the Bible, and that will be counterintuitive to the natural man's thinking. And I need to be willing in those times to walk by faith and not by sight, number one. And number two, the godless man is going to have the kind of associates that will encourage him to walk in paths of righteousness. I'm saying his delight is, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, there are just people in this world who are scornful by nature. They just default to that. And they're cynical and they're bitter. I'm telling you, I want to every day know what it is to experience the joy of the Lord. Do you? Now, folks, look, that doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. It doesn't mean we're not going to have strife in our lives sometime. But what I'm talking about is this: joy, the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is entirely determined by my relationship with Jesus. It's not determined by my relationship to my circumstances. If I am going to live according to my relationship to my circumstances, guess what? I'm going to be emptied of joy. But if I allow my relationship with Jesus to be the thing that determines whether I have joy or not, then I can have true joy. Happiness is entirely determined by my circumstances. But joy is determined by my relationship with Jesus, for He is the joy giver. He said in John chapter 15, these things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He said that he gives us joy. And he said, and no man taketh your joy from you. Listen, there's not anybody in the world that can take the joy of the Lord away from the true believer in Jesus Christ. If you do not have joy, the joy of the Lord tonight, it is simply because you have chosen to give it up. You've chosen to give it up. And look, I don't know about you, but I want to get around people that exude the joy of the Lord. You know that? I don't want to be around people all the time. They're just, I will never do it, you know. You know, it's like, I don't know, why are we going to go eat menudo? Why are we going to eat boiled intestines? You know, that's a great question. I was just thinking that myself. But, you know, I choose to repudiate that. So I'm having prosole and breakfast burritos, man. I claim the gringo card and I'll eat the breakfast burrito. But look, we don't want to get around the people that are negative and down in the dumps and miserable all the time, do you? Is that the way you want to live your life? No, look, there are scornful people, there are cynical people, there are people that are inclined to default to that, and I submit to you tonight that that is a sinful way for a believer to live, because God calls us to have the joy of the Lord. You know, look, if we decide we're going to recarpet the church, you know what? The chances are we probably won't put down the one that you would have picked out from the carpet store. Okay. We probably won't pick out your sample from Home Depot. And you can come to church and that can just irritate the stinking snot out of you every time you sit down and say, I can't believe. And then you know what? You find somebody else who's like, I can't believe they changed the color of the carpet that way. And you know, and you can sit with them. And you know what? Misery loves company, doesn't it? And before long, you're not going to hear a word of the preaching. You're not going to enjoy a bit of the singing. You're not going to enjoy any of the testifying. You're not going to receive any of what God intends for you to hear. All you're going to hear are the complaints, the murmuring, the bickering, the backbiting, the complaining of the naysayers who are your associates now, because angry, mean-spirited, bitter people always find angry, mean-spirited, bitter people to hang around with. Amen. And see, Joe's sitting all by himself. So that is a great illustration. We have an object lesson sitting on the second row. All y'all decided not to hang out with Joe and associate with Joe. God bless you. You're blessed for that, aren't you? I'm saying, look, guys, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I never want to be found as a naysayer of the work of the Lord. I never want to stand in the pathway of someone moving forward in the work of God, or someone going forward for the Lord in their life by being scornful, by saying a word against something that might otherwise be an encouragement to someone who's there with an open and a seeking heart. The God-blessed man and his advisors, and the God-blessed man and his associates. By the way, I want to say something to you. All the time we hear people coming in saying, Pastor, I'm having a Bible study at my house, and that always, you know, gets me just a minute. Look, there's no bad way or place or time to study the Bible. But normally when I hear it, it's from someone that's been saved for a couple of weeks. And what it means is that somebody's knocked on their door with a satchel and said, we want to have Bible study with you. Or normally what it means is two guys who missed the short bus that are wearing helmets want to have a Bible study in your house with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know what? You need not to associate with that. Amen? You know why? They're going to sit down and they're going to tell you, you know, I have a Bible just like you have a Bible. And mine reads just a little bit different, but this is really the correct version of it. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word here in John chapter 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. You see, there are many gods. And Jesus was the offspring of God. And as man is, so God once was. As God is, so man shall become. And they sit there and they say, that sounds interesting. No, you know what you do? Shake the dust off your feet and say, listen, I believe that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but He's God the Son. He's God in the flesh. He's the image of the living God. He created all that is. And I have nothing to say to you. I'm not going to associate with you anymore. This Bible study is over. It's canceled henceforth and forevermore, world without end. Amen. because they are going to lead you down the primrose path to destruction. And what I'm saying to you tonight is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, except you believe that I am He, meaning God, you shall die in your sins. It always bothers me when people say, well, I work with some great Christians. And I'm like, what church do they go to? Well, I don't know. I think they call it the Kingdom Hall. Folks, listen. I know the moon is made out of green cheese, but and Santa Claus, he's hunkered down at the North Pole right now. You know, Easter Bunny is hiding under a rock. Folks, listen. Not everything that glitters is gold. Right? Not everything that says it's a Christian is. And that's where we have to have discernment enough from the Word of God. To have the right kind of advisors and to make sure we have the right kind of associates if we would be blessed of the Lord. Thirdly, we see the God blessed man and his attitudes. The Bible says this. It says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, I want us to see the attitudes of the God-blessed man. You know what the attitude of the God-blessed man is? It's this. I repudiate scornfulness and sinfulness. And I want to experience the joy of the Lord. I want the blessing of the Lord in my life. I want my life to produce the fruit of every good thing spiritually. And I believe that when we have the fullness of the Spirit, what God is going to reveal in our life is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, faith. And all of these things, God is going to allow those to be yielded in our life. And like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Listen, our lives are going to be full and joyous and rich when we yearn for the blessing of the Lord in our life. When our attitude is shaped by thus saith the Lord, not by thus saith the checkbook balance. When our attitude is shaped by thus saith the Lord, not by thus saith my buddy down at the end of the bar stool there. And my attitude is shaped not by my circumstances, but by an eternal, unchanging God in whom I'm trusting. And I'm saying that God wants for your life to be filled with every good thing. And one of the reasons why today that there's a naysaying world that will not come to Christ is because they look at the face of Christianity, and often it is our face. And I wonder what they see reflected there in our attitudes. You know what? God will give you the fruit of souls. God will help you to win people to Jesus Christ. But I wonder what is it that they see in your life that they really desire to have that they don't already have? Do you have a grace upon you? Do you have a peace and a contentment in your life? Do you have a joyfulness? Is your attitude something that others look at and say, man, there's something different about that person? It's a blessing of the Lord on your life because you've determined that the advice I get and the counsel that comes into my life is rooted in the Word of God and from the people of God. And the people I associate with are going to encourage and uplift me and not pull me down. They're going to encourage, the right kind of people are going to encourage me to set my feet on the path of righteousness for Jesus' sake. And I want to have the right kind of an attitude that just outpours with all of the blessing. I want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And His leaf also shall not wither. It's not going to be seasonal, my friend. It's going to be something that is a continual positive spirit in the midst of every season. And God wants our life to be evergreen, not just seasonal, brown sometimes and leafless other times. I remember when Jesus was confronted with the fig tree And he went over looking for a fig there, and there was leaves all over it, and there was no fruit. And he likened them unto the people of God, Israel, at that time. They had all of the outward implementations of religion, and they had everything just so, and yet they were void of any real fruit. And by their fruit, you shall know them. I know a lot of people, and they can sing the hymns, and they can put a dimple in their tie just so, and they can shine their shoes just right, and they can put a Bible under their arm, and they can come in and God bless you, brother, and glad hand you. But you know what? There's no fruit in their life that would indicate that they are that evergreen Christian who is continuously being fed by the rivers of water, and the Spirit of God, and the Word of God is flowing into their life, and joy is flowing out, and others are looking at it and seeing every good thing produced by God. And all the blessings of the Lord are being bestowed upon them. Why? Because that which is flowing into them is a river of life. And friends, I like that song we sang as kids. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And I want to be that tree by the river of water. And I want the life of Jesus to flow in me and through me and out of me. And I want God to bless me with every good thing. And all those things I desire for you as I know you desire for yourself and for your family. God wants to bless your life. I'm not talking about some kind of prosperity doctrine. There are a lot of people here that don't have two nickels to rub together, and yet they're just happy as a clam. They think, man, God has been so good to me. He's delivered me from the perils of the damned, and He's given me His Word, and He's blessed me with His Holy Spirit, and I have riches in Jesus, and I have all the promises of God wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, and I have a future, and I have a hope that's secure in Jesus, and I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved us, and tonight I'd like to eat prime rib, but it's just going to be top ramen. But man, praise the Lord, I have that. And praise God, I have the comfort of the Word and the Spirit of God. Thank God I have friends at church, and I have a pastor and a church that loves and cares for me. And thank God for every good thing that He's brought into my life. And they're like that evergreen, and the river of life is flowing out of them. They're that tree planted by the rivers of water. And God bless you tonight, those of you that say, I want to be percolating all the time and outflowing with the joy of the Lord. I'm not talking about being Pollyanna. I'm not talking about you don't have a hard time sometimes. I'm not talking about people don't pick on you every once in a while. But what I'm talking about is this, Brother John, that when you're laying in that hospital bed and your guts hurt so bad you think you might die, and that nurse comes in, you let her know, man, God's good all the time. My tummy hurts, but God knows that I'm here because somebody needs the Lord, and I have an opportunity to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and I'm privileged to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And even though I'm in a hospital bed, praise the Lord, I can be blessed of Him. And all good thing can proceed from my life. I'm saying to you tonight that the God-blessed man is going to have people counseling him that give him counsel from the Word of God. And the God-blessed man is going to have associates that exhort him and encourage him and lift him up and breathe life into him so that he can continue to put his feet on the pathway of righteousness. He's going to have an attitude that's evergreen. His leaf is not going to wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then I'm going to say this lastly. We'll go home. I want you to see that God blessed man in his appetites. What is it that he yearns for? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. What does he want? He wants to drink deeply of the water of life. I'm saying that he cannot get enough of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the living water. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in this world that you can have too much of. I went to the doctor the other day, and praise the Lord, he said, your cholesterol's good. But he said, your triglycerides are too high. So I know that there are sugars and glutens that I can get a little too much of. And there are some things in the world that you might get a little too much of. You might eat a few too many bean cherries and regret it later. You might have too many of those. I'm saying there are some things you might be able to get a little too much of. But you can never get too much of Jesus. And I'm saying that when we delight in the law of the Lord, that is a revelation of the living Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, capital W-O-R-D. And He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, drinking in of the living water of Jesus and living out the life blessed of God. Not the ungodly. They're down in the dumps. They're on again. They're off again. Their life is up. Their life is down. They're on the roller coaster nature of life. I'm saying God wants to bless the life of a godly man. He wants your life to be filled with every good thing. And I'm saying that He wants you to say, I yearn for Jesus. I yearn for the living Lord. I yearn for the Word of God. And when that becomes your appetite and the desire of your heart, even as Brother Philip prayed tonight, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And who on earth do I desire but Thee? You see, the Lord is my the strength of my life and my portion forever. He's the one that I need. And when I recognize that He's all that I need, would to God that it might come to the place where He's all that I desire. My appetites. God wants to bless you. You know, what is it that your life is hungering for tonight? I pray that it is Jesus. Can I say to you, as we close tonight, there are some people in here that are thinking, if I could just find a husband, or if I could just find a wife, or if I could just get this, or if I could just have that, then my life would be whole, and I'd be a whole person. And you know what? You're missing it. You're missing it. You might get a husband and find out that he's a rat. You know, and your life would be worse, right? You might get a wife and find out that she can't cook. You know? Or something. And look. There are needs that we feel we have in our life that we think relationships are going to take care of. But let me say to you that there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man that can be filled only with Jesus. And there are places in your life that no other earthly person, there are places in your life that no other earthly person will ever be able to touch. Do you know what? It's unfair if I think Linda is going to satisfy all the longings of my heart. God never called her to do that. It's unfair of me to put that expectation upon her. The only one who has ever promised to be able to do that is Jesus. And so you know what? He's who I want. I want to have an appetite for that. And I know, you know what? I can snack on that at 10 o'clock, even if I can't eat fried chicken with the skin on it at 10 o'clock. And it'll be good for me. Amen. Because you can't ever have too much of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to bless you. You know, I think that we need to develop a greater appetite for His Word and for just living in His presence. It's becoming more and more real to me every day. And I thank Him for it. And I want to tell you something. I memorized this when I was a kid in VBS. I had no idea what it meant. And every day that I live, God is opening my eyes just a little bit more to the reality of His truth. And I hope that that's the case with you also. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for